Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good,
Hey.
good, good, good.
Hey, cool little setup you got there. Look at all
I'm
this stuff to look at. You should be a podcaster.
I mean, I kind of am from time to time, not podcasting, but I do all the content creation. What is this? Got it.
What does that mean? Like,
So I run a content creation company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This is my office that I'm in right now. It's called Seek Creative. And I pretty much create mostly video content, but do like photography and all that fun stuff too.
who was
So
your first client?
my first client was actually as Seek was this company called the Sportsman's Journal. It's a fishing show. It's like,
Had
like that weekend everyone's got like Bally's or whatever. It's on Bally's here in Wisconsin. So it's like we'd go up to Canada a bunch and shoot, literally sit in a boat for 12 hours and film fishing and then shoot photos.
And then the goal being what? Like YouTube videos, or do
No,
you consult them with what they need?
they're actually on like Bally's. If that's like kind of a nationwide thing, right?
Yeah, Bally's for sure.
Yeah, so it's on Bally's, Wisconsin, Bally's, all the weird little different ones, but it comes on like Sundays at 11 or noon. But I
Oh,
don't do
so
any.
it's a TV show type thing.
Yeah. Yep, it's a host, it's a
Nice.
husband and wife, a husband and wife TV show. So they just like go out, they go fishing, but they're both very knowledgeable.
So wait, you're recording it, you're fully producing a TV show for these guys?
they he, so I would only edit the intros, outros, and commercials, like the more highly produced stuff.
Yeah.
And then he would the Tyler, who's the host, one of the hosts, he would edit like kind of the more just like cut. And then I would give him like logo animations like Tyler Trampy of Sportsman's Journal that he could like overlay. So he
Nice.
can edit
Yeah.
pretty well. But I was just kind of like I could do the more like animation stuff to help him like make it a little bit more flashy.
I'm so fucking curious about this shit. Like, is it a retainer model? Is it like that?
It was by trip. I don't do stuff with him anymore because fishing world's kind of like the BMX world. It's like a scale up where there's not a ton of money to be doing this. So the reason I think they started hosting this show was the owner of the show, not them, owns three resorts in Canada and a couple more in Wisconsin. So it was kind of like just like a half hour commercial to get people to come to these places, but they would go to other places too, but there'd be like staple, come to what's it called? Cliff Lake Resorts in, I don't even know, Vermilion Bay. Canada is where it's at.
Yeah. So how
So
did you like, I mean, so that's interesting, first client, and then you learn, okay, that no money in fishing. Did you like start targeting other industries? You're like, they have money, I'll go after them. How did you, was it all word of mouth
it was
or?
all word of mouth. Like I did freelance for a while. So to pretty much how I started my own business was I did freelance when I retired from BMX when I was like 30. And I was like, okay, I gotta get a real job. Worked for a startup for a bit, did content creation for them, mostly graphic design.
What'd you make at the startup job, if you don't
Like
mind me
money
asking?
wise or
Yeah.
like 40,
Rough. Yeah.
I
Yeah.
didn't get paid. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? Like that's like when I got a check because it's like,
Because it's a
oh, we
startup.
don't have any money this week.
Yeah.
So, but
Woof.
I ended up having to quit that job because they couldn't. I was so falling so far behind, and that's why I started doing more and more freelance.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't make ends meet there. So so I just like left and they owed me like, I think they owed me like 10 grand when I left, but they paid me off. So at
Okay,
least they paid me off. Most people don't get that when you're working with a startup.
yeah,
But yeah, so then I started doing freelance. And then I started working for this kind of like cool company called Social Candy. And it's like was a marketing company, also content creation. Did stuff for them for a while. And then COVID happened, got let go. They only kept like the first two people who started with them there. And then COVID, I started this business here. And just like from doing freelance for so long, word of mouth, I just had a bunch of clients like in my pocket. And then as I created content, my clients liked me. They shared my stuff with people that asked them, oh, who made this? Who did this? They gave them
Yep.
my stuff, and then it just kind of grew. And I've really never done any reaching out, you know what I mean? People have always reached out to me. And then like, there is a little bit of like, you do content, you know what I mean? So it's like people reach out to you and they're like, I want this, but like you have to then actually make them follow through, because if you don't kind of hound them after, like sell after you have that initial client, then you're probably not going to get them unless they really need it.
Yeah. You got to stay on it.
Yeah. So now I've been 2 years here. So
what keeps the bills paid? Is it a recurring thing? Like if I was to start my own, you know, content agency, which is like it's in the back of my mind sometimes. Yeah. Like I miss the thrill of talking to a new client and figuring out what they need and being the strategist and stuff. Like, do you actually, so this is a question I'm curious about, because everybody, like videographers, can go and point the camera at stuff, but they're like, there's a talent that I've learned that I have that isn't with every videographer, in that I'm directing and coaching them and figuring out what's special about them to make their shit dope. And then that's a whole thing. Do you sell that? Like you get a content strategy. What does a package look like working with?
I don't sell that, but you get that.
Yeah.
I think that's why people come back to me, because I feel like I have a lot of good ideas, you know, as BMXers, as not all BMXers, but as, you know, people who've always been behind the camera, I feel like, being a rider and also being a good rider, you kind of always are like thinking and brainstorming and coming up with new ideas. And because of BMX, you kind of have like a different outlook, and I feel like a cooler outlook on like how you can use kind of more edgy content in a way to be professional still.
Yeah. The normal people love that you come from a BMX background.
Oh yeah.
You know?
He's
so cool. You should see his stunts that he does.
I know. It's funny. So I don't sell that, but it definitely comes with it. I definitely offer, I feel like what I do here, I could sell more things like that. Like normally I'll sell like, if it's a big, like, planning meeting before, I'll charge them like, you know, $350 up front for like this pre-planning,
the consulting type thing.
So it's like, it's nothing crazy, because like I know other my prices are very good. They've gotten a lot higher since I first started, which I was like, yeah, I'll do that, like I'll do this, I'll go film it, I'll do it, $500. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm wondering why I can't pay my bills, you know? But like it's definitely, as you get more professional, as you can prove you're more professional, as you get better gear, you can then sell yourself at a lot higher thing. And you just learn the market. Like, I didn't know what people were selling. Like, oh, your day rate's $2,000. You know, like I didn't know that was even a thing. Like,
yeah.
So, but yeah, that's, so like, that helped dope. Me,
how many clients do you have? Do you have people editing for you? Because I like the thing that I found was like, I could shoot all day, but then the editing is what is the biggest bottleneck. It's crazy.
Yeah. I do have a few people. I've been trying to work some stuff out with people. I have some people who edit photos for me. That's a little easier because it's like cut and dry. The hard thing with me having, I do have editors under me, but it's more for the more simple.
Right.
I created a template for you. You just plug the footage in and it's done. And there's 30 of these training videos that go like that, right? That's a little easier. But when it comes to what people are coming to me for, is they want what I can only do. So it's like, how do I do that without micromanaging and like, you know what I mean? Because like, I'm a perfectionist when it comes to like every little thing. And like when I've had people do stuff, it's hard to like just be like, it's okay, like
it sure is hard,
like just shut up, like this looks great, you know,
it's okay.
So I'll be like that was offbeat, oh why, you know? And then I'm like why didn't I just edit it? So I'm trying to figure that out, but it's a tough process. Trent used to work here.
Trent Lutzky,
I can never say it, I should know. He's coming. He flies in this week, but he was, I feel like he is programmed like I was, how I learned. Like I self-taught myself the program, because he learned on Final Cut. I do all Adobe Suite. And when I was like transferring him over, like he got it. Like he dove in and he was like, understood like the behind the scenes of like how the analog way of like creating a thing with like keyframes and I'm probably getting too technical.
No way.
With the audience, not with you. Not with you.
Yeah.
But like, and he was just like, oh, and he would understood that like I've used templated intros and stuff before from like, you know, Motion Array or whatever. Mm-hmm. I never just use them as is, but I take things from them. And I'd be like, start working with these templates. And I told him how to like dive into a nested file and like look and see, okay, how was this effect actually created and how can I like reproduce this in another way? And he just like got it, you know?
Yep.
So, but he moved away, which, you know, I'm super hyped. I was like, yeah, leave, get the fuck out of here. Our scene here isn't what you want it to be. You know, you want to ride. I was like, but if you ever want to come back, I got you. Yeah. So I've tried to do some sending him some stuff, but it's hard to send him stuff.
Yeah.
And especially because the stuff I'm sending is more on the creative level. And then me go, him send it to me all over the internet. And then me go to my client and then him come back. I want these revisions and I got to get it to Trent. And then it's just like this process that like is tough, but actually this week we're going to sit down a little bit. I hope if we have time and work on this. I do like these crystal videos for this guy who has these crazy $1 million crystals.
Huh.
And I met him actually through BMX. He still rides bikes. He's like my age. He's 39. But his kid, he got back into it because his kid scoots. So he started coming back down to the park and I met him and I was like, sure. Rock's cool. Like, I'm sure they're sweet. And then I went to his house and I was like, holy shit. These things are insane. Like, he's like, this one's from Afghanistan. This one from Brazil. And like, they're like one of a kind art pieces that you just can't find.
That's fire.
Yeah, but it's so I create those for him. So that's kind of my main client. And that's what I'm trying to get Trent to be able to get on a level of like his mind, what he wants. So I can just like set, because that's like, they're 15 second long reels. You know what right. I mean? Like I can send him a couple clips and if he can figure out what he wants, then we can like make this work.
Yeah.
And I love Trent. I love working with Trent.
He's the man, dude. I love working with him too.
Hard. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm hyped on him and I'm proud of him too. So
he's, me too, he's, dude. Like just so humble, but also he's the fucking man right now. Like everybody knows it's Trent.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the shirt on. Enjoy the in between.
Oh, yeah.
That episode was sick. Seeing their travel, like between him and Grant, going wherever they went, it was so fun to watch. And a tedious edit, dude. I was watching. I was like, damn, this is a full documentary type of video, and that's exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah, the way he used to edit too, like I remember him editing that video and I'm like, this is how you do things. Like, I know I taught him a lot. I know he already knew a lot and he's learned a lot without me, but you know, I've helped him out a little bit.
Yeah, let's tweak your process a little bit, Trent.
Yeah, I mean, I did the same thing and I'm sure you did too. Like in the beginning, you're like, he would make every template and green screen like text. Cause he didn't know that like he would like make like a Photoshop thing with a green background and then do like a
key like, in Premiere.
Yeah. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he was hand typing in all the words. I was like, do you know Adobe has a plugin that you can just like put this transcription in and it'll transcribe it for you?
Yeah.
He's like, man, that's gonna save me so much time. Dude, literally typing every word on those fucking in-betweens.
There's one button, create captions.
Yeah.
Magic.
Yeah.
Man, when that shit came out, that was a game changer. Because I'm in the world where it's like creating talking head content and then all the text that pops up on the screen. And it is tedious. And to do it well, you still kind of have to do it manually. But when that shit came out, I was like, create captions. And whew, that's pretty nice, you know?
Yeah, dude, nice. I was blown away too. Cause I didn't know about it right away. I did know about that one. The one that I didn't know about was that was out for a while before I actually found out, was the create multi-sequence source.
Oh, and then do the editing.
For multiple cameras.
Yeah.
So it links up the audio automatically.
Yeah, and then—
Have you used that?
I've used merge clips whenever I'm syncing. I've created a multicam just to be able to like watch a podcast and then hit a button and change the angle when people are talking and you go through and watch it once and you can edit it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always used the merge clips. You right click, you select your multiple clips and the audio track and then merge clips based on whatever.
While they're on a timeline?
While it's in the project folder area where all the clips are.
Yeah.
I select multiple, right click, merge clips, and then that that automatically syncs the audio, which is kind of nice. Yeah. But I remember going back and zooming in and looking at the waveform and like tweaking it. It's right
one click back, one frame back.
And then sometimes it's impossible to match up. It's like different frame rates or whatever happened.
It's just you get that little half frame.
Have you noticed this? This is something that bothers me sometimes, but on a longer video file, the audio is in sync at the beginning, but then towards the end of the video, it's all of a sudden out of sync. So I have to go in and tweak it like halfway through the video.
It makes no sense to me. That only happened to me, I think when I was using different cameras.
Like, it's got to be that. It's got to be some like frame rate or something.
Because it doesn't happen to me anymore, but I use all Sony now. Yeah. But like, I remember that happening back in the day. Where I was like, why? And I know, I think it happened to Trent on something he was doing too, where it was like, yeah, by the end, it's like, for some reason, this one recorded like just a, and it just kept getting, you know, further and further as.
It's wild.
And I was like, I don't know either.
I don't get it.
Maybe I was like, I don't remember if we tried rate stretching it. I don't remember what we tried doing. I don't know.
Speaking of Sonys, I'm a Sony guy too. I got the FX3 and the A7S3. What are you rocking?
I got the I'm about due for an upgrade. I got three of them. I got the A7R3 and then two A7 3s. But nice, I really want to get the A1.
Oh yeah, that just came out, right?
It came out like 6 months ago, maybe a little longer than that. But it's like, it's holding down, the body's like 6,500. So it's like, but I think it shoots in like 8K, raw 4K, 4K 120.
Yeah.
Like, nuts. Yeah. So it's like, I was like, if I could shoot 4K 120, that would be so awesome for like, for doing like events. Cause a lot of people like that, like slow vibe at like these recap style things. Just gives me so much more flexibility where I can crop in. Cause I'm usually always, you know, everything's
just
in a
documenting.
Yeah. So it's like, I can crop in if I want, but I still get that ability to slow. Cause those, what I have, only shoot 4K 30.
Yeah.
Or 1080.
What's the trade-off? It's funny. I got these dope ass cameras and I rarely use them to their full potential. Like, I'm filming in HD cause I'm just documenting all day. It's like, I don't want to deal with the file size. It's just, it looks plenty good, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, because I have like some external recorders and that stuff. It's like, I want a one-day shoot. I'm 2 terabytes in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like,
what recorders do you have? The Ninja?
I have the Ninja. Yeah.
And did you get the SSD for it?
Yeah, I have. So this one actually has it in. Yeah, this one.
Mm-hmm. Here,
this guy with a little one, and then I made one too out of I just bought like because they had the cases.
Yeah.
And I just like took apart. I bought an internal.
That's like $700, that SSD right there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking at it like, God damn. Yeah. And then do you have a V-mount battery for your kit to power that? Because I've been using the VX batteries and it's killing me. They die within 30 minutes of that.
Yeah. I'm usually always doing studio stuff. So I usually just use this guy, plug in.
You know what I mean? Got it. Yeah.
Like, when I'm running and gunning, I don't use this. This is more for like, if I'm doing like a full on studio shoot.
Yeah.
Because I'll do like some studio shoots where I have like white background just for like very, it's like healthcare style. So it's just like very white. This is how you talk to somebody, boring shit, you know, like important. It's important, but it's not, that's how I say it. I was like, the more fun the project is, the less you're going to make.
For real.
That's why BMX doesn't pay shit.
Yeah,
because it's the fucking best.
It's the most fun, dude.
But it pays nothing, and then you do this fucking dry shit where you're like watching this guy talking to the thing. You're like, but I'm making money.
I'm getting paid $5,000 for this.
Exactly. So it's like you got to find that trade off too. Like for me, it's like I will take on projects with a client knowing they don't have quite as much, and knowing I never try to lose, but like I probably won't. But I'm like, I really want to do this, so I'll make it work. But you can only go so far because you can't just like, I don't give away anything anymore because it's not fair to your whole client list, you know? So you got to kind of be somewhat strict, but I'll give a little bit.
It's crazy how it works. Like, you kind of reach a point. I remember getting advice when I was like, when I was freelance and I was charging way too little. I was doing like a $200 day rate. And then these guys are just like milking 5 YouTube videos out of it, a couple Instagram videos. And I'm just like, man, I'm not making enough. And I'm editing the whole time and shit. And I remember talking to a guy who's like big in business. And he was just like, dude, you can just decide that you don't leave the house for less than $1,000. And I was like,
yeah,
huh. And then it's kind of at that point, you know, it's nice. What's the most that you've ever charged and how thrilling was it?
Like for just like a day rate or
for a project for like any, you put over the contract and you're like.
Nothing compared to what some of these people are making, but 25 grand.
Nice. Good for you. Project.
But it was like, I mean, it was a ton of videos. It was like 80 videos. They were all simple to edit, but like, you know, it wasn't like, oh, it was a week. It was like, you know, probably a while. And I, for that was nice though, because I hired on some editors. Like I set up the whole template of like what exactly they wanted, titling, all that stuff, intro, outro, and then just kind of slid these things in and pretty much just was like, this is where this goes. And I labeled all the clips for them and made it very, like, a whole checklist of like, this is what you do. Is this all done? Check this, did volumes right. Like,
you're perfect for this, dude. You're perfectionist. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. And you're detail oriented. So you are the man to be talking with the clients. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And like the pre-planning. I worked with a guy who's he does big money shoots and he brought me on just as like an assistant, paid me really well and was like so organized of like, here's where we are, here's the time, here's the schedule and all this stuff. And I was like, that's sick. Like that's it's not appreciated enough. Just like the you need somebody who's type A or just detail oriented on the team.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just chilling. I'm just like, yeah, we'll go shoot. I'll show up at 10 and then we'll figure it out.
You can see some of my project tracking, like this client that I have right now that I'm trying to finish up like 30 videos for. It's like, I never even know how to use Excel, but now it's like, I thrive in that shit. Cause like, I'll have like all the projects, I'll have draft one with their links, when it was out. And I'll have like another column that says like, what corrections are needed for the next draft. And then I'll like have that dated and like all into a folder. It's like, I'm like, I don't even know how I got to be this. Cause like when I was in my 20s, it was like, I don't know. I always was like, every day is a Saturday. Cause I just rode BMX for a living.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I didn't know what the day of the week was, you know, it was just it was awesome. But it's like, how did I get to this point where I'm like,
super organized?
I got my calendar. I can fit you in between. It's awesome and it sucks all at the same time, but
yeah. Are you using like a Monday or Slack or what it like, do you have internal shit that you're using to track your stuff?
No, I when like I had a little bit more of a team when I tried to grow when Trent was here, I had Slack. And then I would just create like Excel sheets with like, you know, project tracking stuff. So it was all myself because I tried doing that other stuff and it just like, just wasn't quite working.
That's because what matters.
I have a system of how I do my stuff. And then I also had like just the whole project. Like I like kind of like analog physical things. So I had like a sticky note thing on a thing that just said like that were color coordinated that had like Trent's tasks, other people's tasks, and you would move them as they were completed. So it was nice. Also feels nice instead of just like clicking to be like,
I'm making progress. Wow. Look at this.
There's a name for that board. I can't fucking think what it is, but
shit. I would prefer that over clicking in person too. I use Notion for work and it's just essentially a glorified to-do list that is, I just like, cause you can get so intricate and go in and the more detail oriented you are, the more fun it is. But I'm just like, okay, I got to do this. And then I move it over and it is what it is. But
yeah, it's like, it's like pretty much that board is pretty much just like Trello, you know, your sliding
Trello IRL
one bracket to another.
Yeah.
I just like I just use like my I love this thing, which is like my weekly, all my week to do's, and then I bring them in here, and then if I have to, I bring them down to the next one, and then put them on. And it's all blank, so it's like I can just like look at the week before what didn't get done, bring it over, and then just redissect.
I love that. Getting life lessons. You make me want to do it. Do the freelancing or just your own shit.
It's awesome, and I feel like I'm finally in a place. Hopefully, it stays that way where it's gonna work. You know what I mean? But it was hard for the beginning.
What's the vision for the future of it?
I would like to be able to find, I'm getting out of debt because starting this up was, there were some issues in the beginning with, don't want to go too far into that, but like in the beginning where some stuff kind of wasn't working out and a lot of money was drained and sucked and I was living off my credit cards. So now that I've been making money, I've been just like trying to pay that debt off. And once I can actually get like a little nest, I'd love to like bring some sort of a project manager or someone to kind of just like do the Excel, the collecting of from clients, because I am right now doing all of that and I'm good at it, but I don't love doing it, like cash flow forecasting, like just like right. that kind of shit. Or bring on, but I can't offer anybody like a month to month base. And I want to be able to do that before I was to like bring somebody in who has that skill to actually get that, yeah. you know, so right now I just freelance all stuff out to people. So it's like per project paying.
Yeah. Bring somebody on full time. That's
yeah. Because I think then I could actually branch it out more. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Is it all in person people or do you do virtual? And I promise I'll move on from this, but yeah, I feel like I'm just thinking about scaling a media company today and what it would look like and how to do it. And it's fucking, it's interesting.
It's like, you need to find more producers. That's what you need. You need like, that's the next thing I would need is like another producer. Cause like, I mean, like, I'm a producer, everything all in one, but it's like, if you have another producer who can connect all the points of like creating the project and finding the people to shoot and figuring out how that it's like, then I don't have to touch that project.
Yeah. I never got it until I was part of a couple of projects where the producer was like tapping me and reminding me here's this. And I was just, cause I always thought like producer, that's just some shit that you put your name on a project, you know, like no big deal. And then come to find out it's actually pretty fucking valuable. It's pretty important, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes me think I think I'd rather be a producer than because the one man army thing is crazy. Like to get the client, do the shooting, do the directing, do the editing, do all the little things, be the light guy, there's so many jobs on set that you are doing if you're just a one man army that I took for granted. I had no idea what I was good at until I saw a set and they're like, yeah, you don't have to do, you just do this. And I'm like, what? This is easy to.
Yeah. Like you shouldn't even move to change your lens. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, I'm used to like sprinting over there, moving this light because he's a little lower wrong, sprinting back, grabbing a different lens, putting it on, having another camera in my arm.
The chaos is fun, man. I love it.
Yeah, I do love it. I do love
it. All right, that's enough. That's enough heady video talk, business talk. I would like to hear, it's so silly to be on the podcast and be like, will you tell me your story? But what is Jeff K's story? What's the early days of your BMX like? And what was your first sponsor and first trip and all that? Did you race? So, were you a racer?
What's up?
Were you a racer?
No. Okay. No.
Good man. Me neither.
So I started late. I started riding when I was almost 17. I had my driver's license. I remember when I got my first bike.
Dude, same.
Yeah. I was going down the wrong, like I played sports all growing up. Like I'm pretty good at playing, you know, what would you call it? Group sports, whatever, basketball, soccer, football.
Group sports, team sports.
Team sports, whatever. Thank you, man. Anyways, I'm pretty good. Like I grew up, that was like kind of doing that. I played soccer for like traveling, a traveling club when I was younger, but then like high school came and I kind of started going on the wrong path, hanging out with the wrong group of people. Junior
what
year,
doing?
What's up?
Don't just breeze over that. What was the wrong path? What
just
were
like
doing?
Partying, smoking weed, just doing stupid stuff. And I remember I was working and I worked at a pizza place and my friends all went to this basketball game and they were smoking weed in the car before they went in. They ended up walking right past the principal. And I went to a private high school. So it was like very frowned upon, very known, very like, if you smell like weed, you're probably getting kicked out of that school. And they walked right past the vice principal. The vice principal went up, they went back, searched their car. They all got expelled. So all my three best friends were now gone and I had to find new friends. And I started hanging out with people who rode bikes. My buddy Austin, my buddy Chris, and my buddy Eric. And they got me into riding. So then, I started riding. And came to Four Seasons. I remember I wouldn't come to the skate park until I could double peg a a ramp. I was like, I can't go there. If I, what the fuck is this doing? but I was like, so I like, I think I was probably like almost 18 when I went there for the first time because I couldn't, whatever. And then, yeah, just started riding, but then I got addicted. Kind of, I've always been that way, like have an addictive personality. So like just came every day, kept coming, wanted to get better, wanted to get better. And then met Dominic Travato, met my buddy Kevin Zirkelbach, and they were way better than me, which is always, if you want to get better, ride with people who are better than you. And just, yeah, started riding. Then me and Dom started MidwestBMX.net, which is an old website in the archaic
shit,
pre-YouTube.
Yeah.
Dom was pretty much the man behind the coding, building the website, all that stuff, writing content. I was the content guy. And yeah, we started that. It picked, kind of took off. And I think because we had that, Catfish, we met Catfish at some contest that we were going to. Catfish reached out to me and was like, oh, like this company wants to come over to the US, Mankind, which is still, I think, out in Germany, not really in the US anymore. But so Mankind picked me up, turned me pro at this was like 21. And yeah, I just started riding bikes all the time, rode for, you know, UGP, Etnies, some weird bike shops in the middle of that, Sun Ringle.
I remember the Sun Ringle days.
Yeah, they were awesome. Great yeah. team. And yeah, just kind of went down that path, rode bikes from professionally 21 till I was 30. Oh, Profile Racing too. Profile Racing was a huge one. Love Profile Racing. Shout out to Matt Copeland. He's the man. And just, yeah, just enjoyed it. Traveled a lot, did all that stuff. Made enough money to just do that only. Yeah. So BMX was a little different back then as far as people getting a little bit more what they deserved. Or maybe I was just lucky. I don't know. And
are you okay to talk about numbers? It's in the past, but I am curious because I know that like a lot of pros just make like a grand a month type of
situation. At my peak, I'm trying to think with royalties and all that stuff, it was probably like 30 grand, maybe 40 grand a year.
Which is livable for sure.
Yeah. Plus that doesn't include, we actually had like, you know, I had $15,000 from Profile for traveling. I had X amount of money to like use that. So I could, whenever I was traveling, I wasn't spending money. I was saving my receipts and I was getting reimbursed. Yeah. So it was, that's money on, that's like all bonus on top of whatever. Yeah. So it's like when I was traveling, a lot of the times I wasn't even spending money, which was cool.
Yeah.
But also the reason why I think I wasn't getting like huge paychecks from any of these companies. You know what I mean? Nothing was over $1,000 a month. Maybe with my royalties, it was from some, but I had a lot of different sponsors, you know, like UGP was like 300 a month. It was like, I think Profile was 3 plus royalties. I don't really know. I don't know what they get paid now. I have no idea. But then like Mankind was my big one. Mankind treated me really well.
Nice.
But that was cool. And then, you know, there's a bunch of other little ones that were here and like, would be around for a year that would give me a couple $100 plus X, Y, and Z off of something. And just
what was the like catalyst for it? Did you have a video part come out that Catfish was like, this is the shit, or you were just good and networked?
I think it was the Midwest BMX thing. I think he saw that I had an audience, kind of how social media is now.
Right.
Not everyone had that. I had it. I had a platform and I was a good bike rider. And I feel like I was somewhat pleasant to be around. You know what I mean? Cause like no one wants to be with that dude on the team who just,
you're the perfect package, Jeff K. You're the perfect package.
So when you say, tell everybody, like, I was like, if you want to be a like a pro bike rider, get involved. Like,
oh yeah,
go to the after party. And if you don't drink, go to the after party. Go hang out. Meet people. Talk. It's like it's anything.
Host jams. Make a website. I guess at this point, I don't know if a website's the move, but being involved. Start a Facebook group.
I did want to talk about that difference of I'm going to go off a little tangent where I see like, I don't know. I was just thinking about the other night, like how BMX has changed in that aspect. I feel like BMX has become so much more of an individual. Like it's an individual sport. Right. Yeah. But like, it was so much easier back in the day before social media to be a part of something like, oh, I saw you at MidwestBMX.net. Not like, oh, you're, Jay Klugowitz on hashtag whatever, you know, like, and like everyone felt like they were more of a part of something. And in turn, because you were a part of that, you would show up to these things and it just made scenes tighter and stronger.
Yep.
Kind of the way a shop still can do, but shops don't exist anymore either because of online stuff, you know, public parks, like our scene here is dead in my opinion. Like there is some people who ride and shred and there's a core crew, but like, it's not what it was because having all the free public parks makes everyone have like, oh, that's a Stallus. That's like, he stays in Stallus. He stays in Wauwatosa. Like these are parks.
It's too many skate parks.
Yeah.
Everybody used to come to Four Seasons.
Yeah.
But now there's too many free ones. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, I feel like having that scene, like connected scenes more and like, you shared edits more frequently with random people. Like, you know, there's rarely, I feel like I put out edits on my Instagram, like how I used to ride. Like I don't put up like solo stuff that often. Like I like to have like my friends in my videos. But you don't see that much on social media. It's all me.
Right.
Like, I like being like, this is what the day was like, not check out what I did. Cause I feel like that, like, I don't know, it's like a connection, you know? And like now it's just like single edits. There's no road fools. There's no jams are not very, you know, not as, they don't exist as much. They're still out there, you know? But I was just like thinking, I was like, that's just crazy that like back in the day, it would be like, I hit up like TwinCitiesBMX.net or .com or whatever it was and be like, that was Reed Stark's older brother, Kyle.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, we'd share and we'd like, you know, like be like, let's meet up here. Or like, it just like made our scenes more connected than just like individual connection DM. It was like this like scene DM to their scene DM and like, let's do it. And
yeah, what's the equivalent of that today? There's not much. There's like maybe there's a crew Instagram page or whatever, and they're connecting with other crews. It's like it's interesting what you're talking about because we're more connected than ever. Everybody can see each other, but it feels like everybody's more kind of in their own little fucking dopamine hit world from all the likes and which I'm guilty of. I love posting a clip of myself and getting all the likes.
I mean, I still do post clips of just me. I'm not saying that, but it's like, that's just because that's all I filmed. If I'm there riding with someone, it's like, I'm going to put clips of you in there too. Like get a clip for it. I'm going to edit something together. And it'll be fun.
Do you still have the bug to make BMX videos?
When I get to do it, like, it's fun. And like, I feel like that's what still does drive me is like when I do ride, it's like to film something. I'm like, if I go out there and I don't have that in mind, I don't really like riding in front of people anymore. So that makes it harder. Cause like when a jam goes around, it's like, I don't like getting out there cause I ain't got shit, you know? Like, but yeah, so it still does drive me and I still do love doing it when I do it. Like, I think I edited a video for, the last one I like really did was I edited a Madeira video for Julius and a Taylor Thompson like 2 years ago or something. But it was all like their clips they shot. I shot like some of the intro, like some face shots and some other stuff, but I edited it all together. And it was called Look Both Ways. Check it out if you
I will
go somewhere. But I did like I edited that, but I got all these raw clips and it was super fun trying to make like bro cam iPhone clips look like what I think a BMX clip. And I did with a lot of like motion zooms and like, you know, someone doesn't do any zooming on their thing, but I would do like a zoom into the wheel as they're riding away.
Nice.
You know
what I mean? Yeah.
Like kind of give that
in effect. Post. Yeah.
Yeah. In That's post. Interesting. In post. Like, every clip was like,
or like I gotta watch that. That's fun.
Yeah, but that was all like very little that I filmed, except like you'll know the clips that I did because they're like shot on a Sony, like the other ones.
They stick out. I got to mess around with filming because like I still use a VX when I'm filming BMX. We're working on Mediocre BS2, and it's so crazy because I actually brought my professional gear out and filmed a video with the Case Taylor in California, and just looking at the footage on my computer, I was like, damn, this shit is HD as shit. I'm so used to filming and capturing tapes, dude, and it looks worse than an iPhone, but we're still doing it. It's so weird, dude.
Yeah. I'm starting to finally, like, I loved all of the SD shit. I think it just, to me, finally got to a point where I don't think it looks good anymore.
It's terrible.
Except for you kind of use it like a hi-8 cam. You know what I mean? Like right. It can be used for like a couple little clips, but it's like watching a whole edit like that. It's just so pixelated now, like because our phone screens are so advanced that it just makes those pixels look like
very this. Glaringly obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it finally got to a point where like our screens on here are just a little bit too much to make those things. Like if you put on a TV, I still think it would look sick, you know?
Yeah.
But nobody digests shit like that anymore.
The one thing that I give it is just like, it can make footage that's 6 years old and footage that's 6 weeks old look the same because it's all dog shit. Dog shit quality, you know?
Yeah.
But there's some, like I think about the Happy Medium, their VX is so crispy and it looks so, they keep their shit so clean that I'm like, how do they even do that? Because I get a little spot on my lens and it's just there forever. And I don't care enough. I just like keep it in my bag and take what I can get. But there's some people who are making the VX still look incredible. But I can't wait to be done with this.
Is it Happy Medium?
Yeah.
That's the skate company?
Yeah, it's a skate crew from out here, Buster and Hunter O'Shea. And they are the reason that I started filming BMX. I went to their first skate video premiere. And just saw a movie theater of dudes going nuts. And I was like, this is amazing. I want to do this for BMX. And then they
That's awesome.
So
Joey Mata's brother?
Yeah, Joey Mata's brother.
Oh, yeah, I know Happy Medium. I've seen most of those videos. They're fucking
incredible, dude.
Yeah, those videos are unreal. Spot usage.
Yep.
Crazy. So many
perfect filming, perfect music, perfect skating. It's beautiful, man. I sweat them forever.
That was a name that got pulled out of my brain.
Yeah, that's kind of part of the reason that it's called mediocre at best. Three words. I was like, a happy medium. I want three words. I'm mediocre at best. Okay, cool.
You're
throwing, speaking of jams, I just went to a jam yesterday. You're doing a jam pretty soon. You've talked about.
Yes.
What's going on with this?
Yeah, so I was not even planning on doing this at all. This kid, AJ Morris, who's like, he's probably 25. He's from the Milwaukee area, outlying. He came out to me like maybe 2.5 months ago and was like, hey, I want to do a contest in November. I've talked to this person. There's no other events happening on this day. And I was like, normally when a kid comes to me, I was like, yeah, just do it. But I was like, all right, this is like 2.5 months away. There's time to do a little bit of like setup, figure out, get some actual sponsors. Normally it's like, oh, I want to do it in 2 weeks. Oh, I want to do it in 3 weeks. And I was like, yeah, do it. Have fun, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, the park here can always use help. And Jeff G, the owner, is the best dude ever and deserves all the support from everybody. And he just, you know, he wouldn't ask me, but he needs the help. So I was like, yeah, I'm down to actually, I'll help you. Like, I'll help you set it up a little bit. I'll tell you how to do it. I'll get you some connections. He already had some. And all of a sudden, it just started snowballing because I'm really busy with work. It just started snowballing where I'm like, man, my name's kind of behind this. I want it to be cool. So like started being like, I'm just going to help you. Okay. Now I'm building a whole street course for it. I'm building a high wall ride. I'm building a Dominic subrail hitching post. I'm getting, my buddy Eric Stenzel is making these insanely sick trophies. Because he like does like metal fabrication. But he's like, he showed me a couple of pictures. I'm like, don't show me all of them because I want him to bring them on Wednesday when Trent gets here so he can film like the reveal of them. But he's like, they weigh like 30 pounds each. They're like
sick,
intense, dude. I was like, hopefully no one's flying home because their bag is going to be overweight.
Yeah.
But just strap it to your back and just have a sore back, you know?
Is this a carry-on?
It's called Legends of the Fall. You can check out the Instagram page, Legends of the Fall BMX. All one word. But so it's on there and I'm going to, as I start this build this week, and I'm starting LJ, Lil John's coming in from Pittsburgh. And Corey Walsh is coming in. They both fly in.
Sick.
LJ drives in tonight. Corey flies in tonight and they're hosting the Bowl Jam. So they're building some stuff in the bowl. They're hosting that. That's going to be awesome. After party. Dude,
this Dom Bomb, is that a trophy? He built a Dom Bomb trophy?
Yeah. I was like, do not show me that one because Trent's doing an in-between of this whole thing.
Yeah, that's sick. Awesome.
So it's like, so there's going to be, it's going to be, I was like, I want to kind of have you bring, especially that I was like, I don't want to see the down one. Like I want to be, see it first when, you know, he delivers it with Trent there. But yeah, so I'm going to be kind of updating that page this week in the story on like, you know, X, Y, and this is, I'm building the course and I'll be showing the progress of that. So, I mean, if you're into that type of thing, watching skate parks get built, watching events get thrown, check out that page, follow the feed, whatever, and unfollow it next week. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care, but if you want to see that,
that's see dope.
And if this goes well, I want to do it again next year. If it doesn't, AJ might still do it, but I might not be as big a part of it. Right. Because the thing is, it's like, we're not making a set. We're not making any money. All the money goes back to the riders. I flew Trent out here. I paid for a bunch of wood. We had some wood donated. Just, it's a lot of money to, even screws. I spent $400 at Home Depot yesterday on screws, saw blades. And I'm just like, how, you know? So it's like, we're not making money, but I do want the riders that come to walk away with some money, like actual money, not here's a $200 check, you know? Yeah. First place, I'm hoping to give it, you know, at least $1,500 and then money all the way through third. And then we have tons of prizes. We're doing a raffle, giving away like 2 complete bikes. We're giving away a bunch of other sick prizes, after parties both night. It's going to be a really good time. High wall ride. I'm excited to see. I'm building a 15 foot tall wall ride and just see who can wall ride that thing the big, and see Creative sponsoring that. We're giving cash out for that.
Sick. Corey Walsh.
If we had more time, you know, Jamie Spritzer, you know that name?
Yeah. Yeah.
Spritzer hit me up and he's like, dude, you should do a high ice pick and just like move the 2x4 up. But we're so crunched on time. I was like, I can't. I was like, I don't want people to be here till 11, you know? And then I'm doing, if you go to that page, the street course, I'm building like the first kink rail we ever had in here. So I'm doing like a kinked rail, and there's going to be this company, GV. It's a construction company. They bought most of the wood for the course, which was like $2,000.
Nice.
So it's their street thing, and we're going to do best trick on that. That's kind of what it all ends with. Ends with high wall ride on Saturday, and then street best trick. So I'm really excited for that. I don't want to say what it is, but I have an idea that will like really make that street thing kind of like something that no one's experienced in this park before. We'll see. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. So don't quote me on that. But if you see something weird with it, that's what I was talking about. I just like to be very intentional in what I'm involved in and what I'm doing. And I'm trying to be intentional in this jam. Everyone who is involved is involved for a reason, because they care about this place. And they want to see it, you know, thrive. So yeah, all the money's going to riders and to Jeff G to keep this place open.
Fuck yeah.
To keep this place in the winter, because it ain't cheap. We're in a
100-year-old
building. But yeah. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm super excited. I haven't been this excited about bike riding in a long time.
That's what's up.
It's like the one thing I can still get involved with is throwing events, because my wrists are shot. I think I need to get my knee worked on. But I can
get you some stem cells, Jeff.
I gotta make some more money here, you know.
I gotta look at the map to see where you live.
What's that?
The North Midwest is just all, I don't know where anything is. So I'm like looking at a map to figure out.
Oh yeah, Great Lakes, straight above Chicago. We're like straight hour and 15 minutes north of Chicago. Right, like literally right on the Lake Michigan.
Yeah. That's wild. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Come.
And yeah, you're very close to Michigan too. Well, just on the other side of that lake. What's it like living there? You've lived there your whole life?
Yeah, I love it. I love Milwaukee. One of my more favorite cities. There's a few other cities that I really, really like, but I do like Milwaukee. I mean, partially because you grew up here and you just love it. But well, not everyone loves where they came from, actually. Can't say that. But it's just a cool city, and like, especially over the last couple of years, it's really grown. And it's just pretty clean, lots of good food.
Bunch of hipsters.
Pretty, like you wouldn't think it is, yeah. You wouldn't think of that it was as pretty as it was. Like I would take you, there's a beach a couple blocks. I live not far from the lake. And like, there's a beach right by my house. You'd go there, you'd be like, this is a lake.
This is a beach. Yeah.
Cause you can't see the beach in Milwaukee. Yeah. It's like blue waters. You're like, it just feels in the summertime. It just feels like
beautiful.
You wouldn't expect it. You know, yeah. Everyone comes there. They're just like, wow, this is crazy.
I remember it. Cause I went to Michigan a couple of years ago and I saw the lakes.
Yeah.
I forget which lake, but I was just like, holy shit. Like you have no idea. Cause we have lakes. We have puddles here in Arizona, you know, but they're not great lakes. Those things are crazy, dude.
Like clear water. Then you would like, it's not like dirty, murky water. Like the water's always the cleanest because like whatever, but it's clear. So you can like, if you look at it from like above, you can like see through the water and like just bluer than you.
That's dope.
But yeah, I do love the city.
You think about moving ever? Do you like the snow? Do you like the miserable winters?
No, don't like the snow. Don't like the snow. But that's the one thing you got to deal with. But you know, it's getting warmer every year. Global warming. Yeah. Baby.
Let's go.
Pretty soon you'll be up here.
Yeah. You should be cheering for global warming, dude.
Winters get milder. I mean, there are more extreme, you know, gets more extreme here and there. So we'll get some crazy ice storm or whatever, but it's been pretty mild. People are like, see, global warming isn't a thing. I was like, it's not just means it gets warmer. It means it's more extreme weather. It's both directions, but it is overall getting warmer.
Yeah, I was seeing some articles from like the 90s that were talking about global cooling being the big problem. And I was like, that's fucking interesting. Whatever, dude. I don't know any of this shit. Yeah. I don't know what the hell is going
on. To really say I'm right or wrong, but I believe science.
Yeah. Trust in the science, baby. Let's see. What else you want to talk about, Joe? I'm curious about what you're most proud of in your career. Like, a video that you made or a video you had a part in. When did you link up with Maloof? That's another thing I want to know. Because when I think of you, I think of Maloof because you're older than me by a little bit.
Yeah.
And then Maloof's my generation. And I just remember sweating you guys working together. And
yeah, Maloof, I met at a scrap contest when he was like 13. But
he was like, probably such a little shit, dude.
Yeah. Started really hanging out with him probably when he was probably like 16. Maybe 15, he started coming up to my buddy Jesse's house where I built a bunch of backyard ramps at.
Yep.
And everyone would come hang out at Jesse's house, little compound, and just ride that all the time. And that's when I really got to know Tony. And then, we just always got along, you know?
Yeah.
I just saw him a couple weeks ago. He's a great dude.
He's the best. I love him. Yeah. Was he talking like a thug when he was 16 too? You know what I'm talking about?
It probably started
gully attitude.
It probably started around then, you know, and that whole gully crew.
Yeah.
You know, people would talk shit on all they want, man. It was hilarious. I thought it was funny.
I love the Gully Factory. I'm still a member forever. Member forever. Yeah. Are you part of the Gully Factory, dog? Yeah, I think you are.
Yeah. I mean, I was supposed to have a section in the, I was going to move to Arizona to film for 1235 and then fucked up my wrist. I came out there and I filmed an edit for, was it Profile? Yeah. Profile edit in Arizona.
You stayed at the Gully crib out there.
Yeah.
Right?
In Glendale.
Yeah. That was 10 minutes away from my parents' house.
Yeah. But I was going to move out there and then I wrecked on that kinker out there and I smashed my wrist. Shit. I really wanted to do pegs, tires, bar on that kinker.
Yeah, kinker into the grass plan. In the neighborhood.
But I at least wanted to do pegs, the tires. And I almost did it a few times, like chinged a peg out. But one time did it and I did like bunny hop and it like sent me like this way. And I just like ran down, put one foot on the thing and just straight the flat. And just, that was the start of me, because I had surgery on it eventually. That was the start of me, tearing my scaphoid lunate tendon. So yeah, and then I was gonna go to OB San Diego for a little bit and hang out, and I ended up fully tearing it there, and then I never came back to Arizona after that.
I wouldn't either, dude. Arizona took your wrist. It took your career.
Started it.
Yeah, started the end.
Yeah,
that's rough, dude. Yeah, injuries are the worst. What's been, I mean, those are pretty serious injuries, but when you were younger, did you have to have any surgeries or anything?
Yeah, I broke my jaw, had my mouth wired shut for a while. That was fun.
Okay, Kanye.
I know, right? I remember I went to Lake Owen, which is like a Woodward hybrid up here in Wisconsin. It was northern Wisconsin. It was called Lake Owen, but it was that same gymnastics action sports park.
Rings a bell.
It was owned by the people in Woodward, but it was on a lake called Lake Owen, obviously. But it was a really cool place. It was a little smaller. But I remember going up there with my mouth wired shut and just like watering down mashed potatoes from the from the cafeteria and just like slurping them down and like doing barred ice picks with my like trying to breathe and be like I don't know what I was thinking, riding with a fucking broken jaw. I'm an idiot.
Yeah,
we all did too. I mean, most of the people I feel like have like broken ankle rode with a boot on, and you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like
it's 100%.
It's just a part of it. Yeah, I've broken my ankle, broken both wrists a couple times, busted out teeth multiple times, couple knockouts, broke my collarbone 3 times, once in 2 spots.
God damn.
A lot of shit.
Yeah. What trick do you think people get hurt on the most for you? I guess what trick have you gotten hurt on the most? Doing a big setup, doing a bar spin and missing?
Bar spin missing, no. I still
you
usually
catch
don't
bars,
miss.
Baby. Yeah. I don't miss, baby.
I have, but I don't really that often. I feel like I'm more of a busser. So I feel like when people bust, they're over their bars even more. When people throw their back. So people who like, throw like this, they get ejected. Me, I kind of crumble into the bike.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So.
Well, I can't relate at all because I've done one bar spin in my life, but.
Yeah.
I get the concept.
I mean, it's just so random. I've broken shit on doing an alley double peg grind on a quarter pipe. You know, like I remember coming back in the quarter and my bar just kept turning.
Dude, it's always freak shit like that.
Two hangers have taken me out a few times. I've missed my front peg. I've stuck. It's just that one's not fun because it's just like it's a very commitment trip or commitment trick. So if you don't get it, it's bad.
I will not be hangering any big rails anytime soon. Yeah, or ever.
Missing a hanger is wild.
Yeah, dude, you're just.
I don't know anybody else does that. It's probably just me, but I've missed my front peg. Like you push down and it's just like, oh, you're like under the rail and you're like, how? You're an idiot. How'd you do that?
Help.
And honestly, none of those I've actually like gotten too broken off, but those ones, I mean, they still hurt. I never like broke anything doing that, but you body bag, you know?
Oh yeah. Ugh. BMX hurts. Even just like getting back into it, like catching my new wind lately, it just the little things like a shinner here and there, and then I can still feel it days later. I'm like, yeah. I'm a biker again, that's for sure. Yeah. You know, that's wild.
I keep telling myself, okay, Jeff, if you rode 5 days or 3 days a week for a month straight, maybe you'd get back into like BMX shape. Because I work out every day, like 5 days a week.
It's different muscles though, it's crazy.
Yeah. But like I'm like, I can still like, I feel like it's why I can still go out and ride pretty well, but it's like I am very sore in a different way afterwards than I used to be. You know, your bunny hop muscles are hitting you here, you know.
Yeah, it's lower, it's the front of the arm, it's the lower back. It's like working out doesn't help. It's so, I mean, obviously it helps, but it doesn't fucking make riding any less sore.
You feel this jar, like me, it's like, just like, say I go land, like you ever like land like straight bodied where you're just like, you didn't, you like land and you're like, you like, literally feel it like start and go up your bones and you're just like, ow, like, my body hurts, all my energy. Like, does that get easier? Like right now I go out and ride and I'm like, dude, my knee is killing me, my wrists both hurt. Does it like kind of start to
feel better?
Like going back to the gym for the first time, like, you know, you wake up and you're like, oh shit, and the next week you're like, oh, recovery is a little better.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same shit.
Yeah,
I can see it. And I don't even ride three days a week, but if I get out once or twice a week consistently, then I'm chilling. And it's the like the initial day back. I remember Mata, because he's been kind of on a break, but Joey Mata and I went and rode for, you know, 4 or 5 hours, and then the next day he texted me like, dude, my biker muscles. And I was like, yeah, man, that's real. It's so crazy, but they all come back. I don't know about like if you land stiff, you're probably still gonna feel it.
He crank flipping anything these days?
Oh yeah, he's still dude, he's still got it. Like he didn't ride for however long, like 6 months, because he's busy doing his landscaping business. And then I'm like, we got to get out, we got to film. And he's like, all right. And then he takes me to this crazy feeble to like 10-foot drop at the end and wants to do a feeble crank flip on it. And I'm just like, you haven't ridden in how long, dude? Like, what are you doing? And he's just got it like that. Like it's a
that's awesome button.
No fear, fully pushed.
I love hearing like when people like that, used to ride still do get out and they still push themselves like a little bit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's all different, but it's just like cool to hear like people from my era, like gives me hope, you know?
Yeah. We can do it 40. For as long as we want. Yeah. I'm trying to think
40 in a month and a half.
I don't know if I'm still going to be riding when I'm 40, but I say that, but I might still. Yeah. I still really enjoy doing the basic shit. Like I've been going back and refilming stuff that I did in edits 10 years ago. And that's been like satisfying to just be like, yeah, I still got it.
Make the same edit. Up.
Yeah.
Make the same edit.
Exactly.
Same
angle. Yep.
That'd be fun.
It's been a blast. But yeah, I don't know. The muscles come back and it feels good. Yeah, biking feels great to me right now. I'm stoked.
I wish I could say the same. Like, and my new thing is my knee, and I'm like, I have insurance, I have all this stuff, but it still just costs so much to go get an MRI and like.
Yeah.
I really would like to because I did PT for a while and I still do like a few little moves, but like.
What happened with your knee? ACL, MCL, what is it?
Meniscus.
Meniscus.
I have like a little tear. I must have because it's like a little clicking. I was riding this barn north of here. Was it two winters ago now? Or maybe was it last winter? 2 winters ago. I was actually with Trent. Trent was still living here, and I went with Trent. And I just like went out the side of this ramp, and they had a pool table in this barn too. And I just had to like stop to because I went off the side of the ramp, and I was going right out. I just like both legs stopped, and like it felt like my knees like Ooh. My two bones like punched each other, and I was like that didn't feel right. Like didn't really swell up too bad. A little bit of like a tennis ball behind my knee. And then I went to get on a ramp and I like out of a quarter pipe and I like pushed up like to bring myself up and my knee felt like it was going to give out. And I was like, I think I'm done.
Yeah. Something's wrong.
And then since then it just clicks. And like every now and then, it doesn't hurt. Like right now feels great. It doesn't hurt. But every now and again, like if I twist weird or like whatever, it's like, ooh, and I just have to like, whatever.
That sucks.
When I ride, it gets really sore the next day, especially when I ride like sub boxes, like cause it's my right leg. I feel like, or do like 180 to backward grinds. Like I think that like push in and that side, like wobble on it, like it doesn't like that. Huh. So
sounds like you need some stem cells. I don't know. I don't know how you do that, but stem cells.
I don't know. I have no idea what that even means. Like, I'm trying to do, but
I think they inject new cells, like literal baby cells. Not. I don't know if it's coming from a baby. They're coming from some living thing, and then it like regenerates the things that need to be regenerated. So it's just like
I need like a blood guy.
Good for life. What's that?
Like a blood guy?
Yeah, you need a blood guy. You need a stem cell guy.
Silicon Valley?
Yes.
Silicon Valley?
Yeah, I need a blood boy.
Yeah.
Start transfusing. See, you got to make it big with your media company so you can afford to have a blood boy.
I know.
There's like some eccentric software billionaire that is spending, you know, $5 million a year on trying to stay young and reverse aging. Like he's doing the blood boy shit. He has his son flushing his blood into his body, and then he's like on this super strict diet and this workout plan and all these like peptides and all this stuff. I'm just like, dude, it's kind of psycho stuff, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
you got it like that. I would try and live forever if I was a billionaire too. That sounds cool.
I would only try to live like I always say, like I'm happy with dying at 80. Like, that's but I also life. Like I try to stay. I mean, I got another half life in me, you know. I just don't want to be pushed around. You know what I mean? Like. I know anybody can say that now when they're 40, when they get 70, they're like, oh yeah, keep pushing around until I'm 107. But like, that's why I work out.
Literally pushed around. You're talking about wheelchair.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just want to be like, you know what I mean? Like I want to be able to use my own stairs. I want to be able to do all that stuff. And that's why I work out so much is not because like I want to be young forever, but I want to be mobile when I'm old.
Fuck yeah. Dude, people who don't work out and they're getting older, it's so obvious. You can see it. Mm-hmm. And then the people who don't stop drinking all the time, that's so obvious too. Like all the bad ones.
Yeah.
I learned that, you know, it's 5 years ago now. Like I was pushing, I was almost 300 pounds, dude. It was crazy. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to be around for a while. I should take care of myself. And it's a really good feeling having put in the work.
Dude, it's like, the best feeling.
Yeah.
Because I never worked out until I quit riding bikes. Like I remember I was
were you a chunky boy ever?
I was when I was in before I started riding. Yeah. Like after group sports, in between there and like when I was on my downfall, I was, you know, eating more for a certain reason.
Boy, he's thick.
Yeah. And I was like probably not muscular, probably 230. Like So I was chunky. You know what I mean? I had like a little boob action going.
Yeah.
I mean?
That's the
like,
worst. I caught a glimpse of myself getting in the shower one day and
I get boob
tits.
Sweat. You know, yeah. Boob sweat. Ooh. She's like, geez, can't wear gray.
Yeah, that's facts. I can relate to that.
Yeah. But then I started riding bikes and bikes made me in shape. And then like when I, knowing that I was once fat, it scared me that I didn't want to get there again. So I remember stopped riding bike and I was like putting on a little bit of weight because I was like not riding. I was still riding like more, but not the same. Right. And I was like, I need to start working out. So I started going to the gym and I actually got probably in the best shape of my life. And then even better than when I was riding bikes all the time. But yeah, that's because I was thick. I was like, I don't ever want to go back to like, it's just an insecure feeling. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's the worst.
It's like, I always tell people like bike riding gave me my original confidence, like to be like an adult and to like feel comfortable in a room. And then like, I didn't want to, that was through like being good at something and also being back in shape and all that stuff. And then like, when I got done with that, it's like, I wanted to be able to stay in shape and just feel confident. You know what I mean? Like you feel confident when you look good, you know, look good, feel good. It's like a true thing. Yep. And that's what I was just like trying to like at least hold on to that because I didn't have bike riding how I did, you know, which I was cool.
But it's just like, it's precious. We take for granted the fact that we have this like body, you know, and
yeah.
It's so crazy to just be like, no, nah, it's cool. I'll just eat whatever and sit around because it feels good in the moment, but you're just going to hate yourself. Like the best fashion advice is like, you can wear the same shit, but if you're out of shape, it doesn't look good. If you're in shape, it looks good. The best fashion advice is get your body in shape. That doesn't matter what you wear.
Exactly.
Your body's going to
look good. And you can have the worst fucking tattoos. If you look good, those tattoos.
Yeah. But if you're a big fat fatty, those tattoos are shitty now. Oh, that's wild, man. What else, Jeff K?
What's going on?
What's going on in your life? How's your love life? Are you married?
No.
No,
got
no marriage?
Got
How long you been together?
A year. Almost going on 2 years this January. Yeah, we live together. She's amazing.
How long were you dating before you moved in with each other?
We just moved in probably about a little over a year.
Nice. That's a good amount of time.
Yeah.
She's there's people out there that start dating and then they get married within 2 months. I'm like, that's kind of crazy, dude.
Yeah, because you learn a lot. There's a lot of things you learn, you know?
Yeah.
That you wish you would have known if you...
I wouldn't have signed up for this shit.
2 months. You know? But no, yeah, it's great. I mean, we're looking to buy a house, all that shit. So it's just tough with this market, man. You know?
Yep.
I don't know if it's like a Diu. It's crazy here. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy everywhere. I just talked to a loan officer 2 days ago and just figuring out. So there was an opportunity to get a fourplex and then looking into the rate and the down payments and all this stuff. I was just like, Jesus Christ, it's too much money right now. Yeah.
I'm hoping it dives and then I have a bunch of money saved. So when the time's right, I can do it. I'm just hoping I don't have to just be like, well, this is what it is.
Yeah. And that's the other piece is just like waiting for it to dive. How long are you going to sit there and wait for it to dive before you just like make a move and make something happen and then build equity? But it's like, cause who knows? Cause like go back to 2008 and the crash happens. Like were there people in 2007 that were like, I'm just going to wait for the crash or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? And then it actually happens. And I don't know. It's a big ass commitment too, because then you're just picking a place that you're gonna be a part of for the 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's lucky like me, it's like even it can be a total fixer upper because I can like I'm very handy. I can like read the whole house. I can pretty much do everything besides like complex electrical stuff and complex plumbing. You know what I mean? But besides that, I can do most of it. So it's like I like doing it. So I'm like excited to like buy something that I can make my own.
Yeah.
But it's still hard to find something shitty.
There's a company that the guy I work for owns called Keegley and they get wholesale deals and post it on their website. And I think there's a Keegley in your state and they would have the fixer uppers that you can buy for cheap and it's like built for that. So
Keegley.
Keegley. Like key, like turn a key, and then glee is in happiness. GLEE. Keegley. And yeah, they're everywhere. They're franchised. It's a wholesale operation, which is an interesting ball game. Wholesaling. That's another way you could do it, is just start trying to wholesale, and you'll find the shitty houses doing it that way.
But, yeah.
I'm gonna try that. That's on my agenda. I told you before we started, like my free time, I'm using it to ride bikes, but I could be using it to start a whole new career. But I'm kind of like,
you only got a little bit left, dude. Trust me, you're gonna wish you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just be smart about it.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, you'll know when it's time, because I mean, youth is a beautiful thing that you don't get another chance. You got a chance to do what you're doing now. So everyone's always like, I'm this year old, I'm only making this much money. I'm like, dude, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Like as long as you're passionate and you're like, you know what I mean? Like, as long as, I can't say it's for everybody, because not everybody is motivated, but if you're a motivated individual, you'll find something when the time comes, you know?
Right. Big time.
Just got to stay motivated. Yeah. If you don't stay motivated, then that's when you're working in a factory, you know?
Yeah. Then you're just stuck in a personal hell of wake up, go to work, come home, drink a beer, go to sleep. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
No way, dude. No thanks.
Thank you.
Man, I've been, do you fuck with yoga?
Yeah. Yeah. Stretching's huge for me. So I always say that too. I was always like, one thing more important than working out is stay fit and stay like cardiovascularly in shape, but is staying flexible.
Yeah. Can you do a deep squat?
What's up?
Can you do a deep squat? A little yoga squat? That was like, it took me damn near two years.
I'm super flexible
to do it. Yeah.
I've always been flexible, even when I was heavy days.
It's such a cool thing. I was stretching with somebody and they couldn't get their hands past their knees on like a forward fold. And I was like, bro, what does that feel like? Yeah, that's so crazy. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Like, I got my palms on the floor and I'm chilling, but it's
that's going to be hell. Like, that's like I'm saying, if you're not flexible, that causes health issues in the future.
Time.
You know what I mean? Like, not being able to do stuff and be flexible, it's like, it causes you to like, creates that crutch, that crutch is there, and you're just making that crutch bigger and bigger as like, you get more and more out of shape.
Yep.
It's like, you're fucked. Crazy. You're fucked.
Yeah, I'm grateful. I got obsessed with it in April of this year, of doing yoga almost every day, like 5 or 6 times a week. And I'm stoked.
How long are sessions? I only do like 10-minute sessions. I do a 10-minute session every day, but I don't do
if it's a busy day, I'll do a 20-minute YouTube one.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like, and the cool thing about yoga is like, it starts at zero and then slowly ramps up to where it's like, you got some heat going and then it ramps you back down with like stretches and savasana at the end. And I love that, because you're like, come in, and yoga is more about breathing and being mindful. And the whole point that they invented the asanas, which is the movements, is to exercise the body so that you can sit still and meditate for longer. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I learned that and I was like, that's fucking dope.
And the
meaning of yoga and learning more about it, I was like, that's so dope. Because I always thought it was just like yoga classes, do the fucking moves and move on with your life. But yoga is more of like a spiritual belief thing, and it's about sitting with yourself, and it's about just breathing and just existing, and like the bottom line of that. So I love it. And if you're like out of breath and you're struggling with yoga, like you're doing it wrong, like the whole point is to be able to keep your breath the same and throughout. It gets hard, but I love it. And so midday, it's like a combination of meditating and working out, and after it, I'm like, all right, good. I'm glad I did that. It's fire.
Yeah. As I always tell people too, people who are like, yoga, it's like, I was like the same thing, where it's like, if you actually, like, you will feel better. Even if you do a 10-minute session, you will feel better after you're done. If you're not just there, you're not doing moves. Like you said, you're setting intention for the day. You're bringing in positive energy. You're exhaling the negativities, the bad, the woes. Yep. And like, it's a release more on that level than it is even like, oh, I can stretch further. It's like, through these stretches, you're releasing this negative energy from your body. And that's why when you're done, you're like, I feel calm. I feel, you know, I got this. Because you had that moment to slow down. But yeah, it's like, focus on your breathing very much. Like,
it's the shit. And it's really cool to suck at something and then see yourself progress. Like, I saw that with, and Maloof's actually doing stand-up too now, which is pretty cool. Like, just taking what we learned in BMX and like sucking and then seeing what's possible and practicing and getting better at it, you can apply that to anything. Like, when I was in stand-up comedy, I saw like the scene and I saw the people and I was just like, oh, I've been here before, you know, like I'm just a rookie BMXer and there's, you know, Drew Hasselton or whatever, like the local legends and
That.
And then it goes to yoga and it's just like, it's okay to suck. Like that's just part of the game and anything new. It's a beautiful thing.
And to kind of go back, I know we're talking about health and blah, 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 but like the thing that I tell people, cause so many people come like, oh, like when they saw me like kind of transform when I first started working out, cause I mean, you could tell because I lost a little bit more weight. I was a little bit more cut. And people are like, that's what I want. Like, I was like, okay, this is what, if you want to do it, you have to not just go to the gym and like pull on this thing for a bit and pull it in and like go walk around and think it's going to work. You don't have to go every day. You can go two times a week, three times a week. But I was like, track your gains. Like, in my opinion, it's smart to use some sort of documentation on like, where you started lifting weights and getting stronger, because like, that's why BMX was addicting to me, was the progression of it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you go in and you're like, oh, I pushed more weight today than I did last time. Like that was like the excitement. That's how I got addicted to working out, was like progression. But I didn't ever feel that until I was like, oh, I did 6 reps of this. This time I did 6 reps of that. And like, I got better today.
Yeah.
And I think that's what kept me.
How are you tracking it? Are you doing some shit
strong
in your phone?
I use a Strong app.
Okay, cool.
You should look it up. It's awesome. Yeah, I think it's free to use. You can only do like 3 workouts in there, but it's pretty, it's awesome. It's a great one. It's just a simple, it just tracks your stuff, but then it'll like put it into graphs and I don't really look at that anymore, but it just, and it also like, it'll set a timer in between each of them. But I think that's a way to really get like really excited and like you said, the progression of like anything.
Yeah, it's huge. Because I'm not doing that. I need to track, but also I'm just doing for strength training. I'm just going to F45 and staying consistent there. So I know that compared to a year ago, I'm much stronger and in better shape. But also, I don't know the numbers. You know,
it's fun to know because like it's crazy. Like my chart was like, you know, like this, and I was just like, that's crazy how much stronger. I remember like going to the gym and putting up like having 25s on both sides, like a bench or something, and being like, struggling, you know, and now I'm just like, that's nothing. And like, I don't ever want to be, I don't want to be any bigger than I am. Like, I don't really progress anymore. Now it's just like a maintain, but in the beginning to get me into that mode and get me hooked on like going every week was progressing the next week. Like, I'm going to do one more rep of the same weight, or I'm going to put on 5 more pounds. And
Dude, and you just touched on, I think a lot of people's biggest, like, oh, I'm not going to go to the gym. I don't want to look like that. It's like, dude, you're not going to look, you're not going to be a beefcake if you go to the gym. Like you just get a better version of you. It's great. Like you have to go so hard. Yeah.
And you have to eat, a ridiculous amount of food. You got to do like a bulk and a bulking and cutting. Like I never did any of that shit. I just wanted to be strong, lean, long muscle. Like, I mean, bigger than I want to be, but like,
it's crazy.
You don't have to be, you ain't going to get there. Trust me. Unless you want it.
I remember I had this professor in college that like wouldn't shut up. Every class was just like, and let me tell you guys, you need to go to the gym. Like, and he was just kind of older guy, but like in shape. And it stuck with me because I was just like, aren't you supposed to be teaching us about history? And he's just like, go to the gym, go to the gym. And thinking back, I'm like, that's a good professor. Like, because going to the gym is like necessary. It's an important thing. It's pretty dope.
Sets you up for the day too. It just gets you in the right mindset. Accomplishing something early. I mean, if you go late in the day, it's fine too. But like, I think it's great to go first thing in the morning because then it's like you've already accomplished something. Like, let's keep it going.
Then you can feel your sore muscles throughout the day. You flex your titties a little bit. I'm doing it right now. They had us fucking do dumbbell bench press and then go over and just like max out on push-ups. And so my chest is done for. I'm gonna go right after this and we'll see how that goes.
At least that's all back. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And that's what I said too. Like I was, what last touch, and I'll show you about the working out thing. When you ride BMX, it's like we create through bike riding such an imbalance of our bodies.
Oh yeah.
It's all pull. We are never, like the most thing we do is this little push. But like I remember when I first started, like my back got ripped so quick, like because it was already ripped from bike riding. Like you're rolling every time you bunny hop, you know? Yeah. And then like my chest, I was like, I can't even push, you know? Yeah. And it's crazy because I just don't think bike riders think about how imbalanced their body is.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Your core, it doesn't do shit for your core. Your core is fucked because very rarely are you like, so it's just creating this like weird
imbalance. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's trippy to think about, actually.
Yeah.
Imagine going to the gym and never doing push. You just only do pull days.
Yeah.
Your fucking back is huge and you still got floppy titties.
Yeah. Exactly.
What's your, you talk about going in the morning. What's your ideal morning routine?
I wake up around 6:15, 6:30.
What time are you going to bed?
I get way too late. I don't sleep a lot. I'm getting better. I probably go to sleep around midnight, I would say.
Okay.
So it's like 6 hours. I'm like a 6 hours type of guy.
Okay.
And then, so I wake up at like, sometimes it's later depending what I'm doing. But yeah, so go to sleep around midnight, wake up around 6:15, go to the gym, get the gym by like 7, finish that around 8:30, walk my dog, head to the office, and then I work.
Solid.
That's like Same thing every day.
Morning. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's nice, you know. Sometimes I throw coffee in there, sometimes, but coffee's not always every day.
You can function without coffee, dog? Shit. This is my second cold brew of the day. You know that.
I haven't had one today.
Yeah. It's a necessity for your boy.
Yeah. I used to be for me too. I used to be like, but I kind of like got away from caffeine a little bit. Plus, yeah. I go to the gym, so I have it in my pre-workout. So it's
boom. There you go. Pre-workout. Like, shit. Yeah.
It's kind of still flowing through me by the time I get back here. So
yeah. Man, I went through a phase where I got off of caffeine for a couple of weeks. And I was just drinking like Earl Grey tea and feeling the effects of that. And I was like, wow, caffeine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
But I'm an addict. So I'll take my coffee addiction. That's fine.
Exactly.
Been addicted to worse. this is a good healthy combo I got going. You got any regrets?
Not really.
Good.
No, I honestly really don't. I did everything I kind of like. I mean, regrets on like not doing tricks. Yes. You know what I mean? There's plenty of setups that I drive by and was like, fuck. But like how I live my life and how I presented myself as a bike rider. No. You know what I mean? Like,
fuck yeah.
So no, I would say no. I was pretty like, I feel like I've always been pretty real with who I am. Even when like, you know, maybe the Hollister shirts weren't needed when I was
I rock those too, bro.
In a button up. But like, I mean, that's what I liked about me as a bike rider, because it was like LJ and Ash would all give me shit from wearing like this like pretty prep. I was a preppy. I was like a star preppy who like quit all that shit cold turkey, but I was still like wearing Hollister buttons ups, doing stuff, and like I was just always okay with being who I was. And that's my advice to everybody. You don't gotta look like everybody else. Yeah. You're going to look a little bit, and I take a little bit from BMX still to this day in my, how I dress, but I have salmon pants, dude. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not all
BMX, you know?
Yeah.
So I find a good mix of what I like from different aspects in the world and just be yourself, you know?
That's bomb. I like that. I got salmon pants, you know? let's see. What are you most proud of in your career? Like, what sticks out? The trick single clip or?
I really like that.
Yeah, single clip. Like,
I got three things, I think. Single clip, first double kinker tire rail and Shook. I like that one.
What Shook were you in?
Shook, It's On.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's dude. 21. That one was in the back of my mind, or not. It's just caked into my memory. Yeah. I watched Shook, It's On it thousands of times.
Yeah. But yeah, that was the first ever tire ride at Kink Trail. And I wasn't the first one to ever do this. Garrett was, but I was the first one to ever put it out. I found this out after the fact that he did it before me, I believe. But the pegs bar ice on a Kink Trail. And I think the one he did was way more legit too. Cause I did it on that Tulsa Kinker.
Yeah.
And he did it on, I think, you know, something more legit. And then last one, I beat Drew Bezanson in a Baco contest.
Sick.
I got second. So.
Hell yeah. That's pretty huge.
He ain't that good. He ain't that good.
How is Drew?
Is he, I don't know.
What's the update with him? There's something.
I know there was. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what was up with him. But that dude's. I love that dude. He's a good bike rider, man.
Like a bad injury or something happened.
Something happened. I think it was like a freak one too. It wasn't on anything crazy. Yeah. Leave. I was kind of out of the loop at that point when I think that happened. Because I missed these crazy ass edits, man. God, they were the best.
3 years ago today, with a pressure gauge in my skull, my parents were told it could go either way. He had a 15-day coma. Wow. Numerous broken bones, a stroke, and multiple surgeries, and he was put back together. And then the next thing on his Instagram is a car crash. Jeez, dude. Drew's having a rough time. 4 days ago. Took 2 hours to cut me out of this truck. He got smashed in a car accident. Damn.
4 days ago?
Yeah, 3 days ago. It went from a short box to a short cab, beyond lucky. Bro, that's so crazy.
Oh my God.
Poor Drew. I remember Drew. I stayed out in the come up house when I was 20, and Drew Bazanson was there, and I was like, oh my God, this is Drew fucking Bazanson. But like, the ceilings of the apartment were like, they had trannies. So like the corners were rounded or whatever.
I'm wondering if I went to the same one. Was it the one like in the bathroom? Like there was, I've been there.
You've definitely been to that crib.
Yeah.
But we're sitting on the couch and Drew's like, I think sober. He doesn't smoke or drink or anything, but he's just acting like the biggest stoner, like laying on the couch, like, you could do a freaking flare to a marshmallow. He's just using his fingers and shit, and I'll never forget it. He's sweet man. Sweet, talented man.
Best park rider of all time, in my opinion. Yeah, dude.
Up there. Like, some of the shit you still watch, like there's just timeless riding like that, where it's just like, nobody will ever be able to do this shit that Drew was doing, like on a whole another level.
Yeah, like fuck tricks. Like, I mean, he's got great tricks too, but like just doing the right tricks,
just
in the
biking,
right way.
putting his bike on that wall way up there and then coming back is so nuts, dude.
Yeah.
Where was I going? Oh yeah, we're doing the fucking podcast questions. Hit me with your Mount Rushmore.
What is that? Oh, so what do I need? The faces I'd want to see on it.
Yeah, BMX Mount Rushmore.
Oh, BMX Mount Rushmore.
Or just political Mount Rushmore, if you want to go. Thomas Jefferson. No. Tell me who's on Mount Rushmore before you do your BMX one.
Oh my.
Who's on the actual Mount Rushmore?
I've been there. I'm not even making stuff up. I'm gonna try. Sorry.
Let me try. I think it's.
I don't know who's on there because I gotta think about BMX Mount Rushmore.
Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln. I want to say George Washington.
I want to say he's on there.
And then Benjamin Franklin, maybe Theodore Roosevelt. I think Theodore Roosevelt. Let's see. Not Benjamin Franklin. Okay, who's on it? There's a fifth face? Whatever.
There's five?
Yeah, I just saw an article that says, who's the fifth face of Mount Rushmore? Okay, so it's George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln. I got it. Benjamin Franklin can fuck off. But there's four.
Okay, BMX, Mount Rushmore. Jeez, that's a crazy question. I haven't thought about BMX in a long time. Van Homan.
Good choice. Correct choice.
Yeah. Mike Aiken.
Hmm.
Who else? Did Mike Aiken? I'm just trying to think of like I can't even think of who my favorite riders were when I was like going. That's how like long ago I've thought about BMX. Shit. Who are in yours so I can think?
I've had a couple different ones. If we're just going objectively, I'm like Matt Hoffman, Dave Mira, Garrett Reynolds, and Van Homan's a good choice. But then I go like my personal is Ian Schwartz, Carl Pointer.
Ian Schwartz is a good one.
I'll always love Drew Hasselton's riding. He's up there for me personally.
I would say Hamilton on mine.
Ooh, Stephen Hamilton? Yeah.
That was like when I remember seeing Daylight Dollar Short. I don't know if you ever saw that flick.
Yeah.
But that's when I first was introduced to Ian Schwartz and Stephen Hamilton.
Yes.
And that's why I learned nose wheelies, you know?
Yep. Dude, he was early on the nose wheelie,
dude.
Yeah.
So Stephen Hamilton, Mike Aiken,
Van Homan.
Last one.
Bobby Knood. Man, that's great.
I'm gonna throw a curveball there. I'd say Matt Berenger.
Nice.
I like watching that dude ride.
Yeah, he's the shit. I love him. I haven't like thought of him in a long time. I wonder what he's up to.
I saw him in some edit somewhat at a backyard thing of him crashing in something. I don't know.
He's still probably just Matt Berenger, you know?
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah. That dude's fucking, I went on a trip with that dude once, and he is an awesome, awesome dude.
Fuck yeah. I remember I was just watching, I had so much nostalgia because my YouTube started recommending like old Road Fools. So I was watching Road Fools, you know, 11. And I remember watching that when I was 16 or 17.
Yeah.
It's crazy, the videos.
11 was the California one?
I don't know.
That was nine. Nine, I don't was know California where, yeah. Nine was California.
I don't, I forget. But yeah, I just, but keep going. Just the vibes of, I remember one clip, Brian Foster getting out of the van and he's stretching and then all the young kids are riding and Brian Foster says, I can't get out and do it like these young bucks anymore. And now I can relate to that hard. And then just seeing them and like, they're introducing themselves and they're like, I'm Aaron Ross. I'm 17 years old. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? These are babies. And I remember looking up to them like, you guys are adults doing bike tricks, you know, but it's just kids. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. The young man's sport.
I came into I was bringing in like tools for the build yesterday to the skate park. I walk in and they're watching Rock and Roll Road Fools, the first one.
Nice.
And like Jeff didn't even know I was in that, like the guy owner, because I think it just showed up on YouTube or they were watching something and it just like came on because they just had it like whatever. And he's like, that's you. And I was like, I was literally 21 in there, maybe 22.
A little baby.
But yeah, I was like, yeah, I had like the hair swoop where like, yep. You know, like.
That Midwest swoop, the whole style, dude. Like,
yeah,
I remember that era was that emo swoop and then tight jeans, and I don't know, Midwest bikes, because like the when
belts,
slam seats,
too.
Yeah, the belts,
studded belts,
yeah, studded belts. That was a huge thing, and then like the hats, like I think of Ryan Sherr when I think of the hat, but it's like a
shorties,
yeah, little shorty hats. Those were big.
Yeah.
And then do you remember SW BMX? Because you guys, I think it was a full knockoff of Midwest BMX, but we did Southwest BMX in Arizona.
Yeah, I do. Yep. Yeah.
That was a big deal. So you influenced the BMX world.
You know? I try. Yeah. I did my part.
Me, don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? What else, dude? I think that's it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for the rest of the day?
Keep going on this jam. I got to make a after party flyer. So for the after party for Saturday, I got to just all clean my office because Corey Walsh and Lil John are actually sleeping in here. I brought them some blow up stuff. So they're going to be sleeping here throughout the week because LJ's place he was going to stay, his dog just had knee surgery and LJ has a dog and he's just too much.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, just stay here as long as it's cool with Jeff G. And Jeff G's like, I don't give a fuck.
Nice. So where are you? You're in the skate park?
Yeah.
Is that where your office is for Seek?
Let me see. Can you hear me still?
Yeah.
So yeah, my office.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. What? Yeah.
Dude? Right there, dude. You
wanna ride more. What the fuck?
I know, that's what I said. I literally have an office above the skate park and I fucking don't ride.
That's amazing. Yeah. Holy shit. I had no idea. I was picturing you were in like some building downtown for your company.
No, I literally, this was like, didn't look like this when I started. Like I put in all the flooring. I built this whole thing out. There was no ceiling, like the ceiling up there didn't exist. So it was just like cold as fuck, but it's all insulated now and legit.
Good for you. That's legit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I could be handy and do shit like that. Maybe someday I'll grow up. I can change my air conditioning filter and I can replace the batteries on my smoke alarms when that happens, dude. I'm pretty much an adult.
Yeah.
Saying, don't worry about it.
That's what's up.
Well, good luck with Seek. Good luck with this jam.
Yeah. I just want to say, one last?
Say some stuff.
I just wanted to say to anybody, this is like jam related, BMX jam related. Like to anybody who like wants to throw a BMX jam, I feel like right now is the time that it's needed more than ever. And I'm not talking about contests are cool, whatever, but like bringing like more intentional things back into BMX, like Swamp Fest is definitely very intentional.
Huge. You know?
Like, so it's like more things like that and you can do it in your own scene. But there's just nobody really stepping up. That's why I wanted to do it with this kid to kind of be like, this generation needs that person because we had it in ours. There was five different people in my scene who were throwing jams, like good jams. You know what I mean? Here doesn't exist anymore. And when it does, it's like USA contest or something. You know, it's like contests are cool, but it's not Ratty Fest. It's not like the stuff where things happen at parks that should happen. It's not box jump contest, which is awesome, which is needed. But I just think that create an experience for like kids to want to show up to, and it's only going to help BMX, and also companies help out the people who are trying to do that and trying to do cool shit, not just do, you know,
big time. And so, there's such a hunger for it right now, because everything's so digital and we're kind of isolated. So bringing something in real life to go see the people who like I just saw this dude that I only know from Instagram yesterday and met him and got to talk to him yesterday. And I was just like, oh yeah, cool. You're like, there's a real person behind the screen, and it's cool to bring everybody together. So yeah, throw jams.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, it just, in the world of everyone's an individual, it's like, make something that people can be a part of, you know, because it doesn't exist as much. And I'm not someone who's saying back in my day, whatever, because I think BMX is still awesome, all that shit. It's just, it could be cooler.
Back in my day.
Yeah. I hate that shit. Hate that
shit. Yeah. Back in my day, we had to pedal uphill both ways.
Yeah. Because, you know what I mean? Like, it's, BMX is what it is, and it's awesome, and I love it. And like, it still gets Trent's hyped on it. You know what I mean?
Fuck yeah.
If I was young, I'd be still fucking hyped on it, but I would be like more hyped if everyone was brought together a little bit more.
Yeah.
And, you know,
there's big time
cool shit to do and cool shit to remember. Cause yeah, there's just not as many things to like really remember, I feel like, as there used to be. And bring Road Fools back. God damn it. I know.
For real, dude.
I did something like that in
overseas. Yeah, that's, I'm so excited for them to drop that.
I have no idea what it is, but Trent talked about bringing that back before that happened. I don't know if that was
sort of mega tour, dude, with like all the best riders. It's like not a specific brand. It's everybody. It's all the best riders. It's a dig travel thing. So sick.
I love that. Like, it makes BMX so much less clicky. You know what I mean? It's not like the cult crew, this crew, this crew. It's like you're forced to ride with people that you might hate. You know what I mean? Like, remember when like, wasn't like Dave Mira and somebody else that hate, and Jim Selinski on the same Road Fools, and they like were talking shit on each other.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. For real. You got no choice. You're going to you know, be in the same
band. I don't want to see people having the best time always, you know, I want to see a little drama.
We love drama. Make a reality TV show.
Yeah.
Speaking of jams, I want to shout out Joseph Carrillo from here is hosting a jam in Phoenix. So if you guys are listening, it's on November 26th. And it's at 10 a.m. at Deck Park, I think. So speaking of jams, pretty cool. He's just another local homie that's trying to put on a jam. So I'll be there.
Yeah, and like people remember, like when people are throwing these jams, show up. Go out of your way to show up. Think about how much that dude put in work to throw that jam, to bring people out. I'm telling you, it's hours and hours and hours of work to create these things. And if you don't show up, they ain't gonna do it again.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if people don't show up to this, like,
I ain't doing it.
I'm not going to do it again next year. I'm just not like, but I'm hoping people are and all that shit. But it's like, I don't know the scene how it, like, I know if I had done this 10 years ago, people would have showed up, but I don't know.
Right. Yeah. You're irrelevant, Jeff. You're 40 years old, bro.
Yeah. If you're on the edge, I might not be here next year. You know? Might be it. But no, for real, like just show up. That's the least you can do, is drive fucking 4 hours to go to a jam that someone spent weeks on. You know what I mean? Yep. Especially if it's not just like a quick throw up thing. But like, if it's like something that someone's like really trying to do something cool with.
Yep.
There.
Did you see Organized Crime, Matt Clausen's jam that he just put in Vegas? That shit's dope. Just happened. Wish I could have been there.
Yeah.
They're out there. The jams are happening. We got When is yours?
Friday. This is coming Friday, Saturday.
Let's go. It's
Friday and Saturday. So yeah, starting off with a Dom Bomb jam, straight into the Bowl jam. So it's going to be sweet. And if you guys want to check it out, I think, I don't know how much Diggs posting on it, but Trent's going to be here documenting it all for Diggs. So there'll be stuff on there. Like I said, Legends of the Fall BMX on Instagram, all one word. Check that out. Also follow Four Seasons Skate Park, all that shit, because support the people who actually need it.
Who's the best rider that goes to Four Seasons right now? Is it Icy?
Yeah.
A little Icy.
Depending, best street rider. Yeah.
What about Park?
Actually, he's best. He is the best all around rider.
Yeah.
Because
he's the shit.
He can tread a ramp.
Yeah.
He can do all that shit, you know, stylish as hell. Yeah, probably him. There's some other dudes that are killing it too.
I wish I could teleport and be there for the jam. That'd be cool. Lucas Figgleslayer. I gave him a weird nickname when he was in town, but he's got a clip in Mediocre, so that's cool. Yeah,
he's a good kid.
Talented little shit.
But yeah, there's definitely some. I can't say, but best of like the newer riders. There's still some older dudes fucking holding it down out here. You know what I mean?
Sick.
Andy Kent. I don't even remember that name.
Andy, say it again. You cut out.
Andy Kent.
Yeah.
He worked with Neil back in the day
until
he blew me out, but he's been fucking shredding.
Like, sick.
Riding brakes, doing Foo Fighters, doing like weird shit though, like riding shit different, not just like
riding. Just genuinely enjoying the act of riding. Because there's like riding for video and then there's riding for the feeling of a cool feeling trick. Like some shit feels really good, but I would never film it versus, you know, like there's that whole thing. So that's dope.
Yeah, I think, a bunch of people are coming out. A bunch of people are flying out from Austin. Dan Crux flying in from California. A couple of my other friends are driving in from Ohio. My buddy's flying in from Connecticut. I'm trying to get Tony Nyer here, but he's got a kid now, and he said he was coming. I asked Brad Sims to come. I talked to him on the phone. I was like, Brad, I was like, come to my jam. And he's like, what's the weather like? And I was like, I was like, it's actually snowing right now. He's like, nah, I'm out. But it was a freak. I mean, it's like 50 today. It's 50 and sunny. It's going to be 50 this weekend.
It's a fucking indoor skate park, dude. Who cares what the weather's like?
Ryan, and no offense, Brad, I've seen you at 100 contests. You don't ride at them anyways. I'm like, you bunny hop over something really tall, and then that's it.
Yeah. Brad's a professional chiller, dude. Mm-hmm. And then he shows out. I like Brad Sims a lot. Dude, I can totally see Nyer on the mic just running the show, dude.
Micah will be on the mic.
Say that again, Micah
Perrins.
Yeah, let's go.
I tried to get Catfish here. I tried to get him, and he was down. He was like, what weekend is it? And I was like, he's like, I can't. I'm on tour. And I was like, because that's what I was always used to have. It was always Catfish and Micah on the mic.
Yeah, dude. That's a jam.
Didn't pay him a cent. They just drive up out of the goodness of their hearts, and they fucking would kill it.
The good old days.
Yep, but now it's harder when they're both like actually on tour. I'm just happy we at least got Micah,
because that's fire.
Last time, I love it,
man. I'm stoked for you.
Them two together are so fucking funny.
That'll be a good week, man. I've been trying to track Catfish down too. He sent me a video. Same old shit, Bob. He's like on tour with the bikers, and I'm like, all right, let's go, Catfish. Cool. Good. He's gonna keep going until he's 69 years old.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, I think we fucking covered it.
Yeah, dude. It was a good talk.
I appreciate you you chatting.
I appreciate you doing it.
Yeah.
We've been going back and forth. I've been knowing Jeff K my whole damn life, so it's good to actually chop
party
it up.
In Vegas before.
Yeah, let's go. I don't remember it, so that was cool. That's a good sign. There's so many things like that where people are like, yeah, we did this. And I'm like, I don't remember it. So it must have been fun, dude. My 20s is like a blackout of drugs, alcohol. My brain does not remember it. And then concussions, I think.
They don't help.
I was born again when I was 30. I was like, all right.
What's weird, like the shit that BMXers do, not to say I'm like running this on again, but the shit that BMXers do, we do so much more cool shit than your average person, especially the traveling BMXers.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
And like the people who are diving into other scenes, it's like, dude, it's so hard to remember names. It's so hard to remember things. And that's why I was saying, again, create these like crazy things where it's like, I remember Ratty Fest because it was this crazy event. Do I remember what happened the week before that? No, not after. But it's like, so it's like, that's what we got to create for these people, because or else me and you ain't going to remember it. You know what I mean? It's not something really dope.
Yep.
So
do it for the next generation.
What cool shit we do.
Fuck
yeah. All of us, you know, all bike riders.
Will you work on the jam? I'm gonna go ride my bike. But actually, don't leave the Zoom call. I'm gonna end this recording. Don't leave yet.
Okay.
All right. Bye, guys.